up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So which team in the NFL coming up this season, after the schedule is going to be, has been released and now we're starting to analyze it? We got draft, we've got camps, we got all of that, but is there a team in the NFL that has really gone through so many changes that there's expectations? Where are the, you know, who has the highest expectations coming in? You look at a team like the Atlanta Falcons. They didn't play very well last season, but should have been a lot better coming into this year. I got, you know, the Falcons should be making another run at the playoffs, but they play in a division where the Saints are expected to be good. Carolina's expected to bounce back a little bit. There's some extremely high expectations in Atlanta. But the one team that I'm very curious about coming into this season is San Francisco, because Jimmy Garoppolo hurt last year, but kind of pulled San Francisco into this funk. But weren't the same expectations coming into this season with Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo teaming up for a full year? Aren't they still out there on the table? Aren't they still out there to digest? And I look at San Francisco and I say, okay, a division, again, with the Rams and the Seahawks, right? A tough division, but in a tough conference. But still, those expectations of playing very good football and making a run towards the postseason should still be there in San Francisco, right? Does Josh Allen in Buffalo take a next step? Now, the Bills went 6-10 last season. They don't have a primetime game they'll play on Thanksgiving. But this is a quarterback that is, you know, led his team in passing and rushing. You don't see that a lot in the NFL. I don't know if that takes a step back or if that's something to grow on for Buffalo. You know, but again, a division where the Patriots are expected to still be strong, and also a division where Brian Flores is going to be the head coach of the Dolphins, Adam Gase is going to be the head coach of the Jets. There might be enough of a gap there to take advantage of those two coaching situations. Well, but the team everybody loves are the Cleveland Browns. 7-8-9 last season, and a lot to like in a division where second-year quarterback Lamar Jackson, Cincinnati hasn't really done much, and they're under a new head coach in Zach Taylor, and two of the killer bees for the Pittsburgh Steelers are now gone. Browns? Are the Browns ready to take over the division? We'll go over that and a lot more, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, congratulations, Kevin Durant. 38 points last night. Got the Patrick Beverly bug out of his head. I don't know. That's a good game. A blowout win over the Clippers last night as they take a 2-0 series lead. Patrick Beverley's been jawing at him. He got ejected in game one. Both players got double technicals. But he's been bothering Kevin Durant all game. But Durant had 38 last night against the Clippers for the Warriors. They take a 2-1 series lead. I said earlier today, if this was a best of five, there might be still a feeling like something cool could happen in terms of an upset. Seven games, no. No, it's just... To win four is just so hard. It's just so, I mean, a top team would have to be so dysfunctional to lose 4 out of 7 to a team that got an 8 seed. And the only other example I could think about is if an 8 seed got an 8 seed because there was a star player that got hurt and then was coming back for the postseason, but it came back late. It was a little too late to move up. But they changed how they look going in. All right, so the NFL schedule comes out on Wednesday. I was saying this earlier. I'm not buying into the Cleveland Browns, and here's why. I don't agree that because the Browns had a 7-8-1 record last year, were an exciting team, a fun team, and even adding the players that they added, and boy, did they add a lot. I'm not buying them as this 11-5, 12-4, playoff contending, championship contending juggernaut that I think some are going after. I think it's too generous right now. And I said I don't give them the benefit of the doubt because for 20 years they've been terrible. And because they've been terrible for 20 years, you know what? This is just going to have to be, when I see it, I'll believe it. Right? I can see Atlanta, for example, playing very well, making a 11-5 kind of year, winning their division, battling the Saints until the end. I can see that, even though they got some things they've got to do defensively, but I could see that. You know, I could see the Steelers, despite Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell out. I could see the Steelers making the most of Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner and playing well enough to win 12 games, 11 games, and win the division. Right? I can see that. I can see the Chargers and I can see the Chiefs. I can see them continuing to be well. I could see the Broncos win 10 games with Joe Flacco with their defense if that defense continues to play as well and Bradley Chubb takes even another step up. But just because I one season of 7-8-1, an exciting team, an exciting competitive team, they haven't given me a history to show me that they're capable of taking that next step into NFL greatness. They've had 20 years to try to do this, and they can't do it. And the Browns of old are in Baltimore, and this is a failed expansion team. Think about expansion teams in all of sports that have had 20 years, right? It didn't take long for the Florida Marlins to win a World Series. I mean, they got in the league in 1993, won a World Series in 2003. No, you actually, 1997, I should say, and 2003. The Arizona Diamondbacks won a World Series within a couple of years after if you are run right, you can turn an expansion built from scratch team and win with that. And for whatever reason, it's taken 20 years for us to feel good about the Browns. And because of that, I'm not that excited. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid here. This is going to have to be a wait and see. You know, the Denver Broncos, for example, again, team I'm more close to because I covered them for 10 years. They're in a real interesting situation because they not only change coaching staff, they're changing almost everything to not lose again. Because this is that organization doesn't have a history of losing. They don't have a big huge chunk of time in which they were struggling. They haven't had a back-to-back losing season since the early 70s. I don't think they've ever had three straight losing seasons, which is what will happen if they have one this year. They've changed their head coach, brought in Vic Fangio. They've changed their defensive coordinator, bringing in Ed Donatell. Their offensive coordinator is brand new at the job in Rich Scangarello. They have a veteran quarterback in Joe Flacco. Emmanuel Sanders is coming off an injury. The offensive line is in shambles. Their defense is still fantastic, but they don't have an inside linebacker. Their secondary, they haven't signed Chris Harris yet to an extension. And yet, here's that. I just gave you all of those things to be wary about. All those things that should be red flags. All of those things that could go wrong for them. Maybe Fangio isn't the good head coach. Maybe they don't get the right play calling. Maybe Joe Flacco isn't the answer at quarterback. Maybe the defense doesn't play up to the level in the standard. Maybe the absence of Brandon Marshall becomes a problem. All of these things. And yet, I'm confident. I would feel like I give them a better chance of turning their season into something special before I give that to Cleveland just yet. And Cleveland is loaded with talented guys. I mean loaded. And in all due respect, they should be 11-5. But the reason is that I don't like the way that team has been run. I don't like the way that team, and no, you could tell me new regime. You could tell me John Dorsey. You could tell me new coach. But I've gone down the road of the new coach. What makes me think Freddie Kitchens is going to be any different than any other time that organization has ever brought in a coach that is supposed to turn the season around? Every head coach says the same exact thing, right? They get on the podium in Cleveland, what do they say? We're going to play hard. The winning, got to win games. It's the only way we're going to measure success around here is if we win games. We're not going to settle for anything less. And what do? Lose and lose and lose some more. Now, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I am excited, right? Olivier Vernon is going to be there. Odell Beckham is going to be there. Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb. You're going to have Kareem Hunt when he gets off suspension, right? You're going to be throwing to Jarvis Landry as well. There's a lot to love about Cleveland. But that organization hasn't shown me anything in 20 years to make me think that they can take that collection and do fantastic things with it. I've seen teams built like that that have gone nowhere. I think of the Eagles. Didn't they have that a couple of years ago? Where they were building what would be defined as a super team in the NFL, as best you can define a super team, and they didn't go anywhere. Right? So, again, I hope they do. I would love it for the city of Cleveland. You've put up with enough misery. You had a team that you loved and cared about and supported taken from you. A lot of times when a team leaves a market, I don't have a ton of sympathy. I feel kind of sad for the people who really are into it. But I always say, listen, if you have a team that loses, right, leaves, if you have a team that's losing and leaves and you didn't support it, there's nothing I can do for you. But the Browns were losing and winning and losing, and people loved them, and people came out, and they were supportive, and they left anyway. Now, at the time, I remember, everyone hated Art Modell, and then we sort of found out there's a couple of reasons why he left. That building was crumbling. He was trying to fix it on his own, right, before they built their new stadium. And everybody else was getting projects. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was getting a project. The Cavaliers Arena was getting a project. They had built what they call used to call Jacobs Field. Now it's, I guess, Progressive Field. But it used to be Jacobs Field. That was being built. And everyone was getting dollars from the city to build their projects except the Browns. And he had nothing. He couldn't do anything. His mistake by the lake was falling apart, right? And then he went to Baltimore. They won a Super Bowl a couple years later. I mean, that city had its heart ripped out from them, right? And I love the fact that there are things the NFL does wrong, and there are things the NFL does right. And there are things when the NFL does right, I praise them. All right. I thought it was a terrible idea to have a Thursday night primetime draft. I have no idea why I thought that, because it has been nothing but an amazing, roaring success. But here's the thing that they did for the Browns. They gave the city of Cleveland a new football team. And they told the city of Cleveland and this new football team, oh, yeah, by the way, all of the records, all of the history, you get to keep. That's yours. It doesn't go to Baltimore. It's yours. Now, Jacob, try doing this. Try grabbing a Houston Texans media guide, okay? And try to look up statistics in there for Dan Pastorini, for Earl Campbell, right? Go in there and try to find those players in the Houston Texans history. They don't exist.
No, you can't.
They're not there.
It doesn't belong to the city.
It doesn't belong to the Texans. It belongs to the Tennessee Titans. The Jim Brown, Bernie Kosar, Ozzie Newsome, those Browns belong to the city of Cleveland and the Browns organization as it sits today, even though it was an expansion team. The Ravens don't own that history, even though it rightfully belongs to them. But that's what they did, because that meant something so valuable to Cleveland that they did that. I think that was the right call, and it was the right thing to do. I love that. I love it. I think it's great. I think if you move to a new city and another team takes your place, I'd like to see more of that. Because I think that kind of history belongs more to the people than it does to the organization. I live in Nashville. I couldn't care less what Derrick Henry's running statistics are based around the history of the Oilers. I mean, I would like to know how it relates to the Titans, right? If Derrick Henry has a historic run like he did on that Thursday night game late in the season, right? I want to know how it fits in the history of the Titans, not necessarily the Oilers. So it should belong to the people that were there, the people that grew up in that area rooting for that team. Even if they're rooting for another team, it belongs to them. And that's what they recognized about Cleveland. They recognized that the Browns' history is deep, it's important, and it belongs to the people of Cleveland and the city of Cleveland. It doesn't belong in the back pages of a Baltimore Ravens media guide in a city that couldn't care less. But nevertheless, do not mistake that for the fact that that organization was an expansion team 20 years ago and still, up until this very moment, has been treated like one for 20 years, even though other expansion teams like the Texans, like the Jaguars, like the Panthers, even those teams have found success at various times in their existence. So, I'll wait and see. I shall wait and see. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Hit me up there. Again, 800-777-2907 if you want to get into the program as we continue to roll along on a Friday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right. And SB Nation AM, it's SB Nation Radio. Getting ready for the draft next week. Are you ready for the NFL party that is to come? This is going to be a big deal. I can't wait. I don't know what they're doing in downtown Nashville to shut the city down for the draft. I can't believe I'm saying this. By the way, shop O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock. Brands you trust like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wick Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, most with free overnight delivery. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I wonder if you went back in time, like to the 80s, like the mid-80s. Like, remember we used to watch video and it would always, the draft was always like in some conference room at some Waldorf Astoria or something. And they get over a bunch of officials at desks, sitting at their desks on these big phones. But if you went back and you talked to like the old NFL writers of the day, okay, like 80s, maybe late 80s, and you said, hey, in 2010, 2011, around that time, the first round is going to be on primetime TV on a Thursday night. And then every city, it's going to be bounce around to city to city to city. And every city is going to treat it as a massive party. And it's going to be bigger than anything that calendar year in that particular city. I bet those writers would have said no. No chance. I mean, you can envision a future for something. But I don't think they would have envisioned a future for the draft. Because the draft is exciting, but it's also kind of boring. Like back in the day, it would just be like, nope, here's... because in a lot of it, and I think it had because of the lack of information technology, people would go to the draft and cheer players they never saw play 1 second of football. Seriously, if you lived in New York and you were a Giants fan, okay, so you go to the draft and let's say they're like, and the Giants select Michael Simmons, running back, Washington State. How many people in that room from New York City could honestly say they know a lot about that guy from Washington State? Right? Very few. You are going to rely on people who know telling you what they know, and then in return, that's what you know about that particular player. I used to love the Jet fans. They would boo, and sometimes they would go, "You don't even know what player you're booing. Let's stop with this. You don't even know what player you're booing. You're booing because it's a player that you don't recognize, or B, there was a need in another area and they went in another place, or C, you just heard Mel Kiper yap and yap and yap about how great this certain player was, and that's not the name you heard." And those were three things. But now you fast forward it to today, whole different ballgame. No matter where you live, and I've lived in a lot of places, there's 25 football games on TV, on your cable outlet. And not only is there 25 football games on TV, you have programs that are dedicated to making sure you are caught up with as much college football information as you can digest. And if you still want more, there are plenty of places to go online where you can read up about teams, about players, all of that information. There are draft guides you can get. There are draft guides you can buy. You can go online and read them. Whatever it is that you want, you can digest so much more information today. And it makes you a better fan and makes you more of a knowledgeable fan. Translate that into why the draft is popular and why the draft has become a party over the last 20, 25, 30 years. I think the influx of information on what exactly your team is getting on that particular day has a lot to do with it. has a lot to do with it. I know I've told you, and I'm dating myself, there used to be a time where a lot of it was because I didn't have cable, but the only way I could find out who the Steelers drafted was look in the newspaper after the draft was over, and they would have a nice handy-dandy list of all the picks for every single team in the transaction page of the sports part of the paper. And a lot of times I would recognize a name, but most of the time I did not recognize the name because I only got to see maybe one or two college football games every Saturday. Right. And I would do my best to try to read Sports Illustrated and all that other stuff. But you know what? I only knew so much. However, as the years go by, you start realizing, man, I do know these guys. I have heard of these guys. Look at Mr. Irrelevant. Right. Sometimes I've got that name is, you know who that is. Sometimes you've heard of him. Right. That's how much information we have to digest. So a week from yesterday. Right. You're going to watch on TV. You're going to watch the draft on Thursday night. You're going to see downtown Nashville shut down. You're going to see huge crowds. You're going to see musical acts. You're going to see a festive party. You're going to see a red carpet where the players of the future are going to be walking down ready to become instant millionaires. You're going to see all of these things. But back in 1985, you could not envision that because you just never saw it. You never saw the draft outside of what it really was, which was business transactions. And that's really all it is. That's all it is. But now it has become the equivalent of the Academy Awards. That was always the thing I hated about watching the draft was when they, you know, you would watch it ESPN, right? They would say, Commissioner Goodell heading to the podium, and Adam, I think we know where this is going. That's right, Boom. My sources tell me that the Jets are going to take. And I'm like, it's not why I'm tuning in. I'm sorry. It's not why I'm tuning in. I'm not tuning in to get the information. I'm tuning in to how the information is delivered to me. I'm sorry. I want the drama. All right. I want the opening of the envelope and what does it say? Or holding up the card and what does it say? I don't want guys making names for themselves because on Twitter they've got exactly who the team is going to pick way in advance. If I want that, I'll just wait till it's over and then just look at your list. I'll go, you know, hang out with my kids, take the family out to dinner, and then I'll come back and just look at all 32 picks. I'm in for the drama. Is Kyler Murray going to go number one? I don't want some pundit to tell me. I want Goodell to tell me. Because that's what, if you're going to make it a TV show, make it a TV show. Right? What would you really watch the Oscars if somebody told you in advance who won all the categories? Would you watch the Academy Awards if that's your thing? I don't know if it's your thing or not. But would you watch if somebody, you know, some reporter for Entertainment Weekly or some television show or some blogger was right there going, well, I know Selma Hayek and Matthew McConaughey are coming out, and I'm telling you what, that envelope says Moonlight. Would you? I'd be like, no, I'm out. I'm out. Just give me the list when I'm done. I don't want to listen to this. And I feel that way about the draft. Now, I know some of you are more info junkies than you are how it's delivered. That's your cup of tea. My cup of tea is Goodell on the stage holding the card and reading the card. And I go, oh, boy, here we go. Because I know that pick is going to set up a chain reaction. Right? Then I know that pick is going to set up this team is now going to probably go after this guy. And that means it's not going to be available for this team. And now what does this team do? Do they trade out of that pick or what do they do? Because I knew deep down that they wanted that particular player. I love that about the draft. I love the drama. I love the setup. I love the storylines. I love what it can mean as we go down. And that's why I want to keep it the way I like what it is. I like the stage that it's on. Like I said earlier, I have no idea why years ago I argued against the primetime show. I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, this is silly. This is not a primetime show. This is the draft. It's supposed to be all weekend. I'm supposed to do nothing all weekend but process the draft. And now you want me to do this over. But you know what? It works. It works in such a magnificent way that they were able to sell it to cities as a football party. And we are all invited to the football party. And how much fun is that?
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, have you written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online at a bookstore. It's called Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-215-6815. Or that's 800-215-6815. Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa, joining us. We'll talk a little NFL with him. And also, how in the world did the Lightning get eliminated in the postseason? How are you, my friend?
Well, that's a question a lot of people are asking around here as well. I'm doing very well. Always good to be on with you guys.
All right, let's start with that. I don't follow hockey as well as I should. My wife, who grew up in the St. Petersburg, Tampa area, is a bigger hockey fan than I, who grew up in New England, which is an odd thing. But nevertheless, I kept telling her all year. I kept saying, "This Lightning team. This is amazing. I can't believe it." 4-game sweep. I thought if this happened in the NBA, this would be talking points galore. What happened to that team?
No question about it. And by the way, Tony, I'm a recovering math hole myself, so I understand the way that hockey is not necessarily topic A in the Northeast. I grew up there, and I was almost shocked when I moved to Tampa when I heard how much Lightning talk there was here on the radio and how much of a hockey town this had become. And that's why this has become such a devastating week for Tampa Bay Lightning fans, because, listen, it's unfathomable. It's unfathomable what happened. As a matter of fact, I would love to sit here and explain it to you, but here's the thing. I talk to guys on my show who actually know about hockey. I'm talking about a guy like Dave Andrechuk, who played for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who has won a cup, who understands what it means to play in this league, who understands what playoff hockey is. I talk to a guy like Brian Engblom, who's on the Lightning TV crew, and again, played in this league. And guys like that, guys who know infinitely more about hockey than I do, are dumbfounded. They can't figure it out. Everyone is at a loss for words as to what the hell happened to this Tampa Bay Lightning team. And if those guys can't explain it, I sure as hell cannot.
Yeah, no
this
kidding.
Is one of the most bizarre things I've seen in sports.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's one thing to lose an opening round series. It's another to get swept when you were that good, averaging 4 goals a game and everything. It's unfathomable. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be picking fifth, and we've all played the draft game. We all played the mock draft game, and then we all have the argument, right? Need or best player. The Buccaneers at 5, where are they leaning? What's the feeling in Tampa about where the Bucs are going with that 5 pick?
It's so funny. I think we all have kind of that love-hate relationship with mock drafts. I know when I wrote for a little while and they wanted me to do a mock draft, I'm like, I'm not qualified for this. But I did one, and I'll tell you what, as much as I kind of hate them all, if some kid in his mom's basement put one together this morning, I'll read it, right? I want to
exactly,
know what people think about what's going to happen in the NFL draft. Listen, a lot of people think, when you look at right now, the depth at linebacker for this football team is really low. You're talking about a guy in Kevin Minter, not a bad football player, but a journeyman kind of guy. Obviously spent some time under Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles in Arizona, but he today would be your starting Mike linebacker. And I don't think anybody's excited about the idea of Kevin Minter leading your defense. And again, nothing against Kevin, but he's not the kind of guy you want there in the middle. And I think there's a lot of talk that if the Bucs were to stay at 5, unless somehow a couple of teams jump up for a quarterback, and Quinnen Williams is available. Because if Quinnen Williams somehow gets to 5, and I don't think he does, but if he does, it would be a shock to see the Bucs not jump all over that, especially when you understand that they really can't afford to keep Gerald McCoy around, right? Like, they're drawing that thing out, but he won't be back as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So if Quinnen Williams is there at 5, I could totally see that. But if he's not, there's a lot of smoke around Devin White, of course, the great linebacker from LSU, who they could plug right into the middle of that defense. And I think if they don't have an opportunity to move down, which they could, and then look at the other Devin Bush. But if they're staying there at 5 and Quinnen Williams is off the board, I would not be shocked at all to see Devin White go to lead that Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense under Todd Bowles.
You know, I always believe in what Bill Parcells said, you are what your record is. And I believe that. But I also believe that sometimes it is you're a few pieces away, or some bad luck or some injuries also affect that. Are the Buccaneers 5-11 a real 5-11, or are they a player or two, or adjustment or two, or luck or two away from being competitive? Where is this team in terms of talent, in terms of rebuilding or trying to get back into a competitive division?
It's really funny, because depending on the argument you want to make, you can make a really good argument for both ways. You can really say, hey, listen, I can pinpoint some of the key areas on a football team, whether it be left tackle, even though they re-upped Donovan Smith. He's not an elite left tackle. We're talking about corner, right? They're very young. It's kind of deep. It's sneaky deep at corner, but they still need some talent there, and they're too young at cornerback. There's some issues in the secondary. There's some issues on the offensive line. There's things that you can point to and go, I don't know how they're a competitor right away, as much as I might believe in Bruce Arians and what he's able to do as an NFL head coach. You can also point to some other things and say, boy, before O.J. Howard got hurt last year, he really started to look like one of the elite tight ends in the NFL. And what he did, what he meant for this offense, I think moving forward under a Bruce Arians-led offense and the way they're going to spread that ball out can really make this offense really dangerous. And then if you figure a couple things out on defense, which obviously Todd Bowles has been able to do everywhere he's been, and didn't win as a head coach, but has been very good with every defense he's led, well, then maybe you can make an argument that they could contend for a playoff berth. So I think you can argue both ways. There's a lot to be learned still about this football team, and really still about a quarterback going into his fifth year. So I think it's going to be an interesting season, and you can make the argument both ways. I tend to think this team is a little bit closer than a lot of people think, but I'm a dangerous optimist at some point.
What's the paper feeling? And we'll see it when it's on the field, and we'll see it when it is in action. But what's, at least on paper, the feeling of what Jameis Winston has and that Bruce Arians offense coming together?
You know, I think the relationship is just going to be really good for Jameis. And I know that's not really on paper as much as it is off of paper. But I think that, you know what, he's a kid that has been erratic at times, turnover prone at times, but at the end of the day, his numbers against some of the great quarterbacks in the history of the league actually stack up okay. And listen, it's a different league today. You can't compare what guys are doing today to what guys did 20 years ago, but there's a lot of room to say, hey, listen, Jameis has done enough to show that there is a lot of potential there, that his ceiling is still very high. I think the difference between now and when the Buccaneers drafted Jameis Winston is there's a lot of people who believe maybe that floor is lower than we think it is. And I think that's what we find out under Bruce Arians. There's no question marks about, is this the guy? Do I want this to be my guy? Some of the stuff that happened last year under Dirk Cutter that, you know what, maybe affected Jameis Winston. And listen, for me, I don't want that to affect Jameis Winston. I want a guy who's going to fight through that kind of stuff, and I think Jameis needs to do that a little bit. But having a guy in your corner is big. Jameis knows he has that in Bruce Arians. If he's going to succeed in this league, this is as good of an opportunity as he's going to have with the backing of Bruce Arians.
Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa, joins us. Pat, do you like the draft in terms of the quality of players? Do you see a lot of game-changing guys near the top?
I mean, certainly there are a lot of defensive linemen in this draft that, you know, you might want a Quinnen Williams, or, you know, you may look at Ed Oliver and really be in love with that guy. But from the kids from Clemson all the way, I mean, there are so many good defensive linemen in this draft. And overall, I think it's a very good draft if you need defensive help. I'm scared to death if I need a quarterback.
I'm with you on that completely.
Yeah, like I think the Giants have to go with a quarterback at number six. If one of either Kyler Murray or, I'm drawing a blank, the kid from Ohio State.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins, yeah.
Thank you, Dwayne Haskins. And to me, like, I know people are in love with Kyler Murray. I'm very old school. Give me 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm not saying that the spread offense isn't going to work anymore. I tried that for too long. Obviously, it's here to stay. The league is changing. I have to get on board. That said, I'm still scared to death of a quarterback who's 5'10" or 11" or whatever the hell he is. He's tiny, and give me Dwayne Haskins. Give me a guy who stands in the pocket and looks like, and maybe I'm just a curmudgeon-y old man, but looks like what an NFL quarterback is supposed to look like to me. I'm scared to death to go with either of those guys in the top 10, but if I have to, for me, it's Dwayne Haskins.
I agree with you earlier about Devin White, because I did a lot of work in Denver, and I still am communicating with a lot of people from that area who are looking for linebacker help. And I said, listen, if Devin White's on the board, and I don't know if he's going to be a 10, I said, run to the podium before the Lions, just right after the Lions make their pick at 9, run to the podium if Devin White is available. Don't even let Goodell get off the stage before you give him the card. He's that good of a player. He's that fast.
Yeah, certainly if you know, people in the know, and I don't know if I consider, I feel like I'm lucky enough to talk to some of the people in the know. I don't think I'm in the know, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Buccaneers being in a very unique position, because if Kyler Murray does go number one, all of a sudden If somebody wants Dwayne Haskins, they know they very well may have to leapfrog the New York Giants, right? So that's a situation where the Bucs are in a really interesting spot where they could move down. But there's a lot of talk that if they can't get Devin White, they're very much going to want to be in on Devin Bush. And the talk is, from some of the people that I've heard from, don't get past 9, right? Don't allow Denver to draft ahead of you because they'll take Bush, right?
They will.
So I don't think White gets there. I think Bush is the one we're talking about for Denver.
Yeah.
And if the Buccaneers move back, I think they have to stay ahead of Denver if they want to fill that spot.
No, I agree completely. One quick question on the Rays. This is a really good baseball team. Fool's gold here? Is this a competitive team for 162 games?
Are they going to win the East? I'm still not ready to predict that.
Yeah.
But they have found something. And they have a pitching staff that right now is unbelievable. And they can't sustain what they've done. They're on pace to win an absurd amount of games at this point. Like, they cannot continue. They're 14-5. Right, they can't continue that, but can they continue playing very good baseball? Listen, I think if you look at the offensive numbers and what they've done offensively, you can make an argument that outside of Austin Meadows and his unbelievable start, there's really nobody on this baseball team that's doing something that isn't sustainable. There's nobody that you look at and go, oh my God, he can't keep doing that. Austin Meadows, I think he could still be good. He can't keep doing what he's doing, but a lot of this lineup can. I think they've got a lot of young players that are all ascending players. I think they're going to be in this division for much of the year. I'm still not ready to predict they win. I'll be shocked if they don't end up with a wild card the way they're playing. There is an unreal level of confidence. It's just such a young group. You go in that clubhouse, you're there on opening day. We were there for FanFest, and just getting to talk to some of the young players on that team. You know this, Tony. We've been there when we've talked to young athletes who tell you how much they believe in themselves. But you don't really believe it, right? You hear it, you're like, okay, bud, right? But these guys believe in themselves. There's a real belief in that clubhouse, and I think it's going to take them a long way.
I did find it funny with the Blake Snell injury. That's kind of, fractured his toe dropping a steel, something on his foot while he was working on a bathroom or something? That's nice.
Those are always my favorite. My favorite is the home injury that you just have to wonder, really? I remember as a teenager one time, right? Like, real drunk in the middle of the night, running up the stairs, and it just so happened that only my big toe caught one of the stairs. The next thing you know, I'm at the bottom of the stairs, crying. My mom wants to know why I'm drunk. I'm sorry, I don't need to play this on you guys. But you have to wonder if it's something other than, what he says it is. But listen, hopefully it's not too bad. It's that land foot. You try to land softly as a starting pitcher. They're hoping it's only going to keep him out of start, maybe two. But it's certainly one of those weird ones that you kind of go, are you sure?
Good catching up with you, my friend. Take care. We'll catch up with you soon, my man. Thanks so much, as always.
Always fun. Have a good day.
Love it. Always good. Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa. Love that. Buccaneers with the 5 pick. Rays in first place, and nobody knows why the Lightning lost in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. My friend is one of the Avalanche broadcasters, and he put out on Twitter, he says, this is what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs great. That the Lightning were eliminated. And I wanted so badly to start an argument with him. I'm like, really? That's what makes it great? Is that your best team can be out in 4 straight games? That's what makes it great? A team that averaged 4 goals per game is out in the first round? That's what makes it great? Because I'm telling you, I've said this many, many times, it bears repeating. If this happened in the NBA, there'd be an investigation. I'm not kidding. There would be an investigation. Imagine if the Golden State Warriors showed up and were like, I don't know. Yeah, what are you gonna do, man? There's nothing we can do. Whoops! Are we supposed to put the ball in that basket? I don't know. Imagine if that happened to the Warriors. You would be. Where's Tim Donaghy? Where's David Stern to talk about this? Where's a frozen envelope somewhere? There's got to be a conspiracy. Somebody tell me these games aren't fixed. What's going on? Are they throwing games? I'm telling you, there would be a huge, huge, huge conversation if this happened in the NBA. The NHL. It's the greatest thing about the playoffs. It's amazing. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thank you, Jacob, for all the hard work that you put into the show. The Watermelon Man theme. I like that.
It's the least I could do for you, Tony.
Great. You know what I like about the Blake Snell injury, that home injury? They're always cool because he's right. Like, there's some that are just believable, but then there's some like you go, what? Come on. There's two I remember in sports when my time in Denver. I remember once Brian Griese was hurt because he said his dog tripped him while he was walking down the stairs. And there were a lot of reports that that's not exactly what happened. And that he was at a party and fell flat on his face in the driveway.
Yeah, because I feel like if you tripped over your dog while going down the stairs, you would have hurt the dog too, right?
Exactly.
Unless your dog's a horse or something.
My other favorite one was the Rockies. They had a player named Clint Barmas, and he was out for a period of time, and he claimed that he tripped on the stairs carrying some deer meat that was given to him by Todd Helton. He was climbing up in his condo, stairs in his condo, and he tripped on the stairs and he like suffered a dislocated shoulder. And people did some digging and found out like him and Helton were riding around on ATV vehicles around his ranch.
Okay, that was like way too specific.
Right. That's
way too
what
detailed.
I thought, right? Yeah. Right? When
simple is better.
Simple is better if you suffer an injury in sports and you don't want your boss to know how, because maybe it violates a contract, say, I just fell down the stairs. Don't say, well, I fell down the stairs because I got some deer meat. You know, Todd's really into that, and I really like it. I was actually going to make it into a nice flank steak, and then I was going to serve it with like a potato and a vegetable. But then as I was walking up the stairs thinking about how I was going to prepare the vegetable, I tripped. No, keep it simple.